Hello, everyone, and welcome to Now Spinning, the official podcast of the Lansing Community College Vinyl Record Club. We meet twice a month to listen to vinyl and talk about music. Stay tuned to learn about how you can get in touch with us and attend our meetings. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Now Spinning. With me today, I have
Tyler Reck,
Andy,
and Jacob Zakovic.
Thank you all for being here. Today, we have a fun little topic to talk about, and that is our first meeting of the fall semester, everybody. Woohoo!
We made it.
This is how many years now? That's like...
Oh, I have no idea.
It's like once it's January 2026, it would be 4 years.
Time flies when you're having fun. We have a pretty good playlist today, and we're gonna jump right into it, yeah. I think. So starting off, Andy, you played something?
Yeah, so right off, I started off with Welcome to the Jungle. I mean, I thought it was pretty appropriate, seeing how this is the first song of the school year. Mm-hmm. So, hey, why not?
I wouldn't call LCC or the record club a jungle, but it's close enough, you know.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure they're talking about like LA or something in that song.
New York. I get the vibe.
Or maybe New York.
Something like that.
What were we about to say, Simon?
No, I said I get the vibe. No, I know what you were going for.
It's a great one. I love Guns N' Roses. That's like when I was 12 years old, man. That album was one of my all-time favorites, but I reveal myself as a fake Guns N' Roses fan in that I don't listen to anything that's off of any of the other albums.
Me neither.
The only time I listen to it is the first few seconds when it plays on the radio, then I'm like, oh,
what? Oh, no. I love all of Appetite for Destruction is good.
It's just so overplayed on the radio.
Just like, a little bit.
Yeah. Go to some stations that it's just the same few songs.
Well, I mean, it's overplayed because it, you know, people think it's good, and that's the important part. Very famous.
I think Paradise City's maybe my favorite off the album, but Welcome to the Jungle's an all-time for so many people.
That's so true.
Yeah. Next, we've got Museum by Herman's Hermits. This is a good one off their album Blaze from 1967. A good album. I like it a lot, you know, kind of sunshiny, poppy, kind of...
It's a good
psyche.
Time.
Yeah. I've been trying to play that since about the January meeting of last year. I didn't get a chance to do that, so I'm glad to have just brought it to this one instead.
Yeah.
Very beautiful. I liked it.
Yeah. Herman Hermits is so nice. Like, they're just good vibes, really.
Yeah. Sunshine Pop is really good.
Yeah.
You know,
a little left turn. We have a couple songs that are like it, but first we have Saber Dance by...
Hold on.
Composer's name? I'm trying to
remember. Aram Khachaturian. I don't know. I didn't even get close. I apologize to anybody who's, I don't even know where he's from, Russia somewhere, I think.
I think he does Russian.
He could easily be, you know.
It's a good song.
Azeri or something, really, who knows. Fun. But it's, I think Andy said to me in the meeting, like, this is straight up Looney Tunes. Yeah. And I was like, yeah, this is like one of the most recognizable songs of the 20th century. It's so ridiculous. It's so much fun. Just like classical music doesn't have to sound like everything else in classical music. And this is one of those where you're just like, are those xylophones? What are they doing? What's going on? And it's just so much fun. It's actually very indicative, I think, of music that came a lot after it. I think this is from like the 40s or something, but it's very much everybody in the orchestra and band are all playing the same thing at the same time.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And this is from a ballet, and that kind of style would come up a lot more in like movie scores and heavy metal and punk rock and stuff kind of use that same technique of just like everybody chugging along on the same thing, and it sounds epic. And,
yeah.
It's an all-time favorite of mine. But yeah, it is ridiculous. I admit that.
Yeah, I think so too. I mean, like the one that I found was Saber Dance (parentheses) from Pee-wee's Big Adventure.
Okay. That's a good one. It's used in a million movies and shows and things. One of my all-time favorite recordings of that song is, I can't remember the group. I'm sorry, it's like a punk group from like the 90s, early 2000s. But it's like a hard rock punk version of the song, and it's very cool. But it was in the soundtrack of an episode of a What's New Scooby-Doo.
Oh, so I love
that's
that.
Awesome.
What's New Scooby-Doo? Shout out.
I got
What's New Scooby-Doo and Simple Plan.
Oh, yeah. Oh, don't even get me started on Simple Plan. Well, we can do a whole pop punk episode if we want.
If there's one thing you do after this episode, go watch What's New Scooby-Doo. How about that?
Or just listen to Saber Dance.
Or listen to Saber Dance. Either one of those things.
Next up, we've got Garden Party by Rick Nelson. First time he's ever been brought into the meetings.
Oh, yeah?
Which is a really good song, kind of like a rocky kind of thing with a ton of lyrical references. Like tons. Did you spot any, Simon, when you were listening to it?
I did. He was mentioning Yoko Ono and Chuck Berry and some other people. I thought it was an interesting song because this guy, obviously he's known for being a big teen star in the 50s and 60s. And this song is him really just rejecting that label and trying to move past it. I thought that was really interesting.
It's not really him rejecting it because the whole point of this whole Garden Party, it was at Madison Square Garden in New York, a bunch of 50 stars and 60 stars and stuff like that, like Bo Diddley and Chuck Berry and Bobby Rydell and Rick Nelson were singing all their old songs and stuff to people, all the oldies, I guess, in 70s terms. And he sang, his songs Traveling Man, Hello Mary Lou. And then he went and sang Country Honk. And then he got booed by everybody.
That's what I'm talking about. It seems like he's...
That would have been such a cool show, but I could see how the crowd would very much expect thing.
But then people felt bad, so they're just saying, oh, somebody was getting arrested, and they're booing the police, not making feel bad. They reference Yoko Ono, as you said, Simon. They lyrically mention her Walrus, John Lennon. They shout out to Mr. Hughes in Dylan's shoes, Dylan being Bob Dylan, Mr. Mm-hmm. Hughes being... name that George Harrison would use to, kind of hide his identity.
I didn't know that. That's interesting.
Yeah, it was a reference to George Harrison's album of Bob Dylan songs that he was going to do.
I didn't know that existed either. Yeah. Wow.
Another interesting lyric is when he said all he had to play were his old songs, he'd rather drive a truck, which is a reference to Elvis.
Yeah, they see that's what I was talking about.
Yeah, who was a truck driver before he became a rock and roll star.
No, it's very, very lyrically dense song.
Cool.
Yeah.
It was a good one.
Rick Nelson and the Stone Canyon Band, shout out to them. And speaking of people and bands, you got Michael Nesmith and the First National Band, Mom and Nantucket.
Yeah, there's a theme between those two. It's the 60s pop star trying to branch out from the stuff that they got pigeonholed into, kind of.
I mean, if you listen to Michael Nesmith's stuff in the later era of the Monkees, listen to the Band or St. Matthew's stuff.
Sure.
It's very much country rock, kind of, because they were all four Monkees were branching out into different things. And I think Michael Nesmith just kind of took his and made his own thing. It's pretty good. Plus, being from Texas, that's kind of what you know.
Mm.
That's very true. Yeah, good stuff. I like those two. It's a fun time. Two more songs right after that. Also kind of related, but completely... They're related to each other, not related to this at all. But that was O Tango Suerte by Masayoshi Takenaka and then Magic Ways by Tatsuya Yamashita. Both these songs, I think, got played at the event we were talking about in the last episode. But I just wanted to bring them up again just one more time because they're both wonderful music.
Yeah.
That's totally fair. I mean, I played, Michael Nesmith at the RSO Fair, too, and I brought him back because mainly I wanted to play Mom and Nantucket for the January meeting, but couldn't. So it's always good to see some familiar faces.
I need to get more people on board with that kind of city pop stuff because Tatsuya Yamashita still hasn't put out any of his stuff on streaming, which is fair, which ties into a couple other songs that got played a little bit later down the line, actually.
Mm. But yeah, I loved these. They're so light. They're so fun. Mm. They are, very musically complex, but they just sound nice and they make you feel nice and you're just like, yeah.
Yeah, I agree.
Beautiful.
Especially with O Tango Suerte. I'll just say the title so I don't butcher his name. Mm-hmm. Like that. Very beachy.
We already did Aram pretty hard earlier from Saber Dance, so don't worry too much about names.
That's what we do here. We can't pronounce anybody's name.
What are you going to do? I did my best.
Yeah. There's another song from a country that's probably a lot more obscure, though, a little bit later on, which was Making the Scene by the band. Amanaz, I think. Amanaz. They're another Zamrock band. I think this album got played also at the RSO Fair, but again, I wanted to bring it up. This is a fascinating genre with a lot more complexity than you would assume just getting into it. That's just a very specific scene from a very specific region of an obscure country But there's like so much depth to it that when you get into it, there's just a lot to dive into.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I don't know. There's so much like great music coming out of Africa and other parts of the world right now that are like, we've just never heard anything like, because just, I mean, the like economic development wasn't there. You know what I mean? These places were getting screwed for so long. And now finally it's like, oh yeah, they've got great rock too. And it's mm-hmm. unique, and it's based on, you know, their own cultural experiences and stuff, and the experiences of other cultures and stuff, because it's all just a meld. And it's fantastic.
Oh, yeah.
This song, I mean, it's just complex, but not something that you can't understand. Yeah. Like, it's very, very cool.
No, yeah, that's the kind of the appeal of the genre, I think. It's like complex music, but, like, played in, like, I don't want to say amateurish way, but, like, it's very different from, like, what you
it's
would expect
accessible.
Out of, like, yeah, exactly. It's very different from what you would expect from, like, a polished, like, 70s rock band from, like, the U.S. or the U.K.
Mm-hmm.
or something.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Great album, great genre. I would advise getting into that Zamrock. It's very rewarding. Coming up next, we have one of your favorites, Jacob, I think.
Oh, Eddie Grant. Love Eddie Grant. I've talked about him loads on these podcasts before, so I'm not going to get into it now. But yeah, go listen to Eddie Grant. I love the song Electric Avenue. That's like a top all-time song for me. It is so fun. It is so magical. But yeah, what we wanted to mention was, if you like go and try and listen to our Spotify playlists, which you totally should, we make a playlist after every episode put together by Simon. This week it was put together by Tyler.
And I have the unfortunate thing of like saying like, oh, this isn't on the Spotify.
Yeah.
Oh, what
so,
are we doing now?
Eddie Grant is one of many musicians that really doesn't like what artists are getting paid by these streaming platforms. And so his music is basically unavailable on all of these mm-hmm. streaming platforms, which ties into we were talking earlier about...
Tatsuya Yamashita, yeah.
Yeah. And then another song that you will not find on our playlist... It was
Satanic Slumber Party by King Gizzard and a band called Tropical F-Storm. They're both Australian groups, like psych rock thing. We talk about King Giz a lot on this show because they're awesome. But this
Tropical F-Storm is like basically a super group formed by a couple of other smaller but still successful bands.
I didn't know that.
Yeah,
this is very new to me.
But yeah, it's very, very experimental, even mm-hmm. compared to King Giz. It's very experimental.
Definitely.
But it's very cool. I do highly recommend you check it out. Music video on YouTube is very, very cool. But yeah. Not on streaming platforms. So
it's on. Yeah, it's
come
on.
Get on it, Spotify. Yeah. Pay people more.
Yeah, I think
among other things,
Spotify pays them like 1 cent a download.
It's like 0.001 cents or something like that for the whole Spotify Wrapped. Weird Al made a joke. Was like, "Hey, thank you for over 1 billion streams. I can buy a sandwich now."
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That tracks. Moving on, though, we got a little bit more psych rock stuff, and this is, like, foundational psych rock stuff here. That's Hey Joe by Jimi Hendrix, and this is, mm-hmm. Like I said, foundational psych rock stuff.
See, you say this is psych rock. This song is not by Jimi Hendrix.
I know, but it's
this
a
is
cover,
an old blues song from, like, the 40s.
Yeah, he takes it.
This is, like, the breakout Jimi Hendrix song,
mm-hmm.
and it's that for a reason. Like, could you imagine if hearing this for the first time, you'd be like, whoa! Like, that's different than what every single other guitar player is doing.
Yeah,
but just amazing.
I like it. I like it a lot. Gio came in from Vinyl Nights. You know, shout out Gio.
Yeah,
real friend of the show. But I was like, here, play something off this. And I handed him Are You Experienced? Like, oh, okay. And he played Hey Joe, which I think was a pretty good choice.
Yeah.
Great album, great song.
Yeah.
Moving along, I think we got one more song that you played, Andy, if you want to talk about that real quick. Was this?
Is that John Batiste?
John Batiste, yeah.
Yeah, so I played Sing by John Batiste. John Batiste, if you don't know, was the front man to...
Stephen Colbert,
yeah,
right?
Stephen Colbert's front man. And he went solo, left the show 2021, 2022, something like that. And so I was in MSU for my birthday. Like, you know what? I like records. Let's go buy myself a record.
Mm-hmm.
So John Batiste, this brand new album at that time. Like, yes, Yes, indeed.
It's always good to bring stuff in that you really like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I wanted to play...
newer stuff is something that we don't always get, and that's one where
I'd beg to differ, actually.
Uh-oh. You think we play a lot of new stuff?
Usually, sometimes.
Really? I feel like we normally only get like one or two per episode, but there you go.
Like Tango Suerte, like that. I feel like that's pretty new.
That's from 1976.
Really?
Yeah, and then Yamashita, that's from 1984.
Ooh.
That's what I'm talking about. No, I mean, like, anyway, those genres, they're very influential to music now, though. That's the thing. Sounds ahead of its time.
John Batiste. So, like, what genre are we calling this? It's not just R&B, is it?
I would say R&B. He's from New Orleans, so we get a little bit of that southernness to him. Yeah, I wanted to play another song called Freedom on there. Freedom, which is, like, you can definitely tell it's, like, rhythm and blues, like, a little bit of poppiness.
Definitely going to say I get some soul vibes from him, too.
Yeah, soul in there. Yeah. He's definitely a classical jazz artist releasing in contemporary.
Very cool. It was a good record to buy.
Yes.
It's a very nice, very distinctive red album cover, which ties into the next song in like a weird roundabout way because we have the Partisan song, which we put it on our playlist from the version by the Red Army Choir of all people.
Yeah, that was the only thing on Spotify.
The original.
Mm-hmm. I apologize. It's I know this one's old. You can't flame me for that. Like
that's
you
not
did
your
before.
Fault. It's like a random out of the free bin.
Yeah,
Russian
polka stuff. Yeah.
Folk music and stuff.
I love that. I love finding that.
It was
awesome.
A good one, though. We put it on, and everybody was like, this is kind of a fun bop. Yeah. Like, it was like a lot. We couldn't decide if it was accordion or concertina, but we were jamming to it.
Yeah, I just wanted to bring that up because I thought that was funny. So that's not the actual version. If you can track down a, like, album of Russian polka music from, like, the 60s, you'll probably find it.
It's yellow.
There's probably 18 million of those.
I've seen that album.
It won't be expensive, though.
Really?
Yellow album.
You'll find it pretty cheap.
Yeah, it's been in there for at least a few years.
You're right.
It's finally found a home, though. That's the good thing.
Yeah.
Cool.
I wanted to briefly mention after this, I played a Ween song. Just scratch it off your bingo card. Don't Get Too Close to My Fantasy. Fun song. Really fun song. Check it out. And then after that one, though, we have a song from an artist that used to get played a lot but hasn't come in a hot minute, and that was a Twerp. That's a fun, another fun little, like, synth-funk band. We played City Pop earlier, and I think that ties back into what you were saying earlier about, like, you thought it was a very new album when it was, like, that was a song that came out 50 years ago almost.
Yeah, because like, it all sounds like, because it seems like all that gets played, at least to me, is just a bunch of new stuff, and nobody ever plays old stuff. Like
really?
Wild. I get the exact opposite impression.
Like
I guess,
like,
that's just what we
focusing on. I feel like I'm the only person that brings in old stuff and is not too appreciative of anyone.
Some old stuff. Anyway, Twerp, like I said, this band definitely borrows a ton from like the City Pop stuff, but I think they do it pretty well, and it's like synth funk, City Pop, wonderful album, wonderful band, check them out. Moving along here, we got a couple more songs got played. What do you want to talk about, Jim Croce, real quick?
Yeah, I will. Yeah, this was another leftover, like Museum and Mama Nantucket and Lodi, but this wasn't from January. This was a leftover from our name meeting back in last November. I just didn't have time to play it. Really fun, really rocking song. You Don't Mess Around with Jim. Overall, great album.
Mm-hmm. I love that.
I've listened to it quite a bit, and I'd say it's one of my favorite albums of all time, really.
Yeah,
that's very fair.
Especially in the summertime, you know, you're in the woods or stuff like that. Like, I think I first listened to it about maybe 3 years ago. It was really great, and I came back home, and I was like, oh, I got to find this somewhere, and I found it in a dollar bin.
Naturally.
Yeah.
That's nice. A good find.
I love Jim Croce. Mm. That's one of those artists where you're like, oh, it's such a shame we don't have more of that, you know, sitting around, but just how it goes.
I mean, Jim Croce only made five albums, and three of them are known. You know, his last three albums are the really big known ones.
Mm-hmm. I think he died really young. I don't know.
Plane crash.
Oh, wow.
That's too bad.
That gets a lot of rock and roll people, man. I guess that's when you got to fly to your gigs.
Patsy Cline, Buddy Holly, Richie Valens, Big Bopper.
John Denver also, John if we're talking singer-songwriter. Yeah,
yeah. Glenn Miller.
Jim Croce.
Really? Glenn Miller. Yes, yeah. Glenn Miller's a really, really famous one. Wow. He was,
Well, we'll get into, we can get into Glenn Miller some other day.
We don't got time for Glenn Miller.
Andy and I will bring in Glenn Miller.
Oh, don't you worry
about the whole entire story.
I've got two Glenn Miller albums at home, actually.
Yeah, moral of the story, though, if you're a famous rock musician or a big band leader, don't fly places.
Take the bus.
Yeah, take the bus.
Yeah, that's
anyway.
Yeah, that's what Waylon Jennings did. But we'll have to do a song about the day the music died or something.
We could do a whole episode.
I could do
about that.
I've got stuff from all of them.
Cool.
We'll check that out definitely. But stepping along here, we have another classic hard rock song, Shoot the Thrill by AC/DC.
I love this song.
AC/DC, the ultimate mood setter. If you need something to pump you up, AC/DC all the way.
It is so like, it's not like classic rock, but it's like, to me, it's like the kind of like, this is what a rock band from this era like wants to sound like, wanted to be like, especially Back in Black, you know what I mean?
Oh my God,
All the ACD stuff from the 70s is like my favorite. Bon Scott is easily my favorite ACDC singer, but Brian Johnson is really, really good too. And this album is just like, it's all there. The guitars are great. The production is great. It sounds great.
It is just all classics the entire way down, both sides.
Yeah, like
it's well written.
Like, You Shook Me All Night Long. That's another favorite of mine. I'd go on bike rides when I was staying on Mackinac Island working there. I'd go on bike rides at 4 a.m. I'd listen to that just to kind of feel the vibe and stuff.
Was the suspension on your bike broken and you were literally being shook the entire time?
No, actually, my bike was pretty good. I got it from the Mackinac Island bike shop.
Ooh,
yeah,
nice.
It was a work bike, so, you know, get to work down there and back, and it was all good. I love AC/DC. I went to see them in the Quicken Loans Arena in Cleveland in 2016, but Brian Johnson like had ear problems, and the doctor said, "Oh, cancel the tour or lose your hearing." So I didn't get to see AC/DC. It was about 2016, I'd say. I was kind of disappointed.
Bummer.
Yeah, it happens.
Next up,
complete opposite of AC/DC, maybe.
Let's try not to butcher this. It's Le Temps de l'Amour. Pretty sure I got that right.
I put a different song on there. I got the wrong song, I think.
We'll fix it later.
Yeah, it's Francois Hardy off her first album. It's really good, 60s kind of stuff. It's great. I like it. It's like something you'd hear in a Wes Anderson movie.
Yeah, definitely.
Very pretty.
Honest.
Very, very relaxing. Very nice. Just sounds nice.
Yeah.
I have to, at some point, make an effort to get into, like, French music of this era, because this stuff is very good. I've listened to, like, a lot of, ironically, I've listened to more like German music from the 70s and 60s, or like Brazil or something like that. But France, I've listened to like three albums from like people from France, and one of them is Daft Punk. So it's like
they got some pretty cool stuff going on around that time. It was very experimental, very influenced by jazz. A lot of their takes on the rock genres were very interesting. Things like punk and just classical rock had very very experimental feeling and very very influenced by things like jazz.
Yeah. No, that's one.
Cool stuff.
Yeah.
Fun song, though.
Yeah.
And
Andy, you wanted to talk about someone next? Someone that's well known?
So next, we have September Song by Bing Crosby.
I forgot to put that on my list. Hang on. I got to. Hang on.
Bing Crosby, if you know Christmas, he is the voice of Christmas.
Oh, yeah.
Silent Night. He did a duet with David Bowie. What was that song?
Yeah. Peace on Earth.
Peace on Earth.
Yeah.
If you don't.
That's a great, great Christmas song.
Great
but
recording.
We aren't here to talk about Christmas Crosby.
Sure.
We are here to talk about Autumn Crosby, which is crazy because it's like, I didn't know he had any autumn stuff. I found this, played it, and it's a great autumn song. And I like when he, you know, the part where he goes, you know, September, November.
I'm
pretty sure it's like when he was like getting older, like late 70s before
he's
about to pass
away. His voice dropped.
Yeah, I agree. Like if you listen to the Headless Horseman from you know, the Tales of Ichabod and Mr. Toad. Like, you know, his voice was a little bit higher now that you mention it.
Mm. Wow. Bing Crosby, friend of the show. Check him out. He made non-Christmas music. Check that out. Last song that got played, I just want to talk about just for a second, was 3D Country by a band that I talk about way too much on this show, which was Geese, off their album of the same name.
They might need to be on the bingo card, too.
Oh,
it's
don't,
getting out of hand.
Their new album is coming out very soon. Probably by the time this comes out, it would have already came out, but you're going to be hearing a lot more of this band in the future. I'm just going to warn you now.
Well, look forward to that, I guess.
Yeah.
You sound so enthusiastic.
I am. I am. No, I am. No, I didn't mean for that to sound like
no,
a joke.
Fine. You're good.
It's good country rock, but I think I prefer more of the 70s kind of country, like the early stuff.
That's very
like,
funny,
like the Nesmith and the First National Band, or like Neil Young, Crosby, Stills, and Nash. And
it's all great.
Yeah.
There it is. But that does wrap up the whole playlist for today. We had quite a fun variety of stuff, and we love talking about it. If you want to hear some of this or you want to share your own favorite music so we can talk about it on the show later, you can come check us out at our website, which will be linked with the show. That'll have our schedule, meeting themes, which are TBD very soon, our events, past playlists, past podcasts, anything and everything you need to know about our club, you'll find it there. By the way, we're in a new spot now, which is the, what was it called again?
It's the Office of Empowerment.
Office of Empowerment in the ANS building. So just
first
walk.
First floor.
Yeah. Literally walk in the front door, turn left. We're right there. And we'd be happy to have you. You can check out, like I said, our schedule is on the website. We hope to see you soon. All right. Thank you for tuning in. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Goodbye.